Hear these words of assurance. Today, receive the bread of life. Today, hear the words of eternal hope. Today, trust in the one who hears our prayers and showers grace and forgiveness upon us all. Today, we are set free to serve God's whole creation and to sing God's praises. Thanks be to God. Amen. This song is a chestnut, one I learned long, long ago, but it's just another iteration of this beautiful text from Psalm 84.
And my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. God of hosts, hear my prayer. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. How lovely are thy dwellings, O my soul longeth, yea, fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
You're so so blessed to have Rick with us. Thank you. The ancient word reading is taken from the book of Ephesians. It's plain enough, isn't it? We're no longer wandering exiles. This beloved community of faith is now our home country. We're no longer strangers or outsiders. We belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. She is using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what she is building. She used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now she's using us, fitting us in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home.
Pray with me. God, our sun and shield, we may long to be in your house, but our deeds show how tough it is for us to live there. Called to follow, we search for paths to take us back to our old ways. Given the words of eternal life, we weekly proclaim this gospel to others. Offered the path of salvation to walk upon, we stumble down the rocky roads of our world. Forgive us, guardian of our lives. Strengthen us with your spirit, so we may serve your people with all that brings them life. Let your word, Jesus Christ, the one we have come to believe and know is our Savior, be confirmed in us in every word, every deed, every thought, every moment in the days to come. Amen. A friend of mine, whom I've never met, but one of these Facebook friends, he works in church growth, but his name is Mark Tidsworth. He's from the South. This didn't make it into the sermon, but I wanted to share it with you as something sort of to keep in mind as we think about this text of nesting. Mark writes, he writes that it's pretty cool how the Jesus followers at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Edgartown, Martha's Vineyard area, Massachusetts, are responding to the missional opportunities sent them by the governors of Texas and Florida. That's what Jesus people do, friends. Regardless of how the nations relate to God's children, loving in deed and in word. Go, church. In today's words of preparation, Guy Pearce claims that for him, the thrill of coming home has never changed. And it looked like there was a lot of affirmation from you folks as well about that. The thrill of coming home has never changed. Is it true for you? And my sister and I just returned from this 2 weeks in Alaska. Wonderful as that was, it was interesting that we both commented on the last day that we were ready to head home and sleep in our own beds. It's fun to travel when you can afford to. But there's almost always a thrill to coming home. Chick, you guys have been on a voyage right away this summer. It's nice to come home, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, nice to come home. Sleep in our own beds. For those long separated from home for reasons of war, or poverty, oppression, or famine, the thrill might be even more intense, even when laced with a certain trepidation about coming home. The Hebrew scriptures pay tribute to the joy of returning both from slavery and from exile, even when the tasks of settling and rebuilding were daunting and things didn't always work out the way they planned. The thrill of coming home. Psalm 84 gives us a vision of the breadth of possibility. The song was written to be sung as people made pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. The temple was said to be God's home on earth, the place where God was most present in all of creation. As they traveled along, they burst into song. How lovely is your dwelling place, O God of hosts. My soul longs, it faints for the courts of the Holy One. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. There's something in me, friends, that loves a cathedral, expense notwithstanding. The grandeur and beauty seem appropriate tribute to the great God of the universe. I've spoken, I think, before of those times I found myself both lost and at home in the mystery of a place like Chartres Cathedral it's outside of Paris. Bobby Morris writes that the Temple Mount in Jerusalem was in ancient times, and in fact it is to this day, one of the most religiously hallowed places in the world. The sense of excitement and awe must have been almost overwhelming as the city on the hill with its exalted temple first came into view. It was a kind of homecoming to the Holy One. Have any of you ever been to Jerusalem, seen the temple? I haven't either. So I can only imagine what it must be like to see the temple, the remnants on the hill. But there's a great paradox in the text. Even the sparrow finds a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young at your altars, God of hosts, Holy One, our God. This may be an even more beautiful attestation to the importance of home. Home that is both spirit-filled, yet oh so practical. Practical as a bird's nest, right? There, tucked away in the eaves of the majestic structure, sparrows come home, and swallows are nesting, raising their little ones. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus admonished the crowd. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly parent feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? The birds of the air make their simple home in the midst of a majestic human structure. And as one former parishioner reminded me, God is at home in the bird's nest as much as God is at home in the Holy of Holies. God is at home in the bird's nest just as much as God is at home in the Holy of Holies. Just imagine God nesting with us in our humble dwellings. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. Recently, I acknowledged on Facebook that August 31st would have been my mother's 104th birthday. Last week, I mentioned the dream house in Boise she and my stepfather had built with its sweeping views of the Boise Valley. Remembering my mother, I can't help thinking about that house in which she nested the last 40 years of her long life. A house in which we shared many wonderful as well as difficult times. One poignant memory for me was how from the time I moved away from Boise when I was 18 years old, my mother would always, always ask me, "When are you coming home, son? When are you coming home?" Any mothers ever ask that? When are you coming home? In the beginning, that question made some sense as I had no other place to hang my hat than a shared room in a college dormitory a country away, clear across the country. As it became increasingly clear to me that I would never return to live in my mother's house for any extended period of time, she continued to ask that same question, "When are you coming home? When are you coming home?" Her sense of home and mine parted ways. You see, though she was proud that I was making my own way in the world, I would always be her boy. Personally, I found home in other places and settings, but as long as she was alive, I spent every Christmas, save one or two, in my mother's house. And I still call Boise my hometown. And whenever I'm there, I drive by that house and remember. So I'll confess that when I hear talk of home and coming home, there's a stirring in my heart. Home is something I believe in strongly and care about deeply. But then I commit myself to preach about it, and I'm not altogether sure what it means exactly to me or to you. I tried looking for a definition of home in the dictionary, but the references were all to houses, and I knew that was not satisfactory. I found a travel blog called The Longest Way Home, written by someone named Dave. In a post entitled, "What is the Definition of Home?" 2016 edition, Dave observes that this is not an easy thing to write. By its very subjective and relative nature, such a definition cannot be captured in one short article or a definition, apparently. A book might have to do it. Still, he insists that if there is one global thing we all share, no matter our race, our income, our religion, or beliefs, it is that we all want a place to call home. What do you think? Does that sound right to you? We all want to find a place to come home. It makes sense to me. In the end, he says that from what he's heard and read and observed, the most universal definition may be home. You can say this, isn't he, almost, right? Home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. Maybe that's enough. Still, part of the challenge for me is that the term home has theological as well as philosophical and practical meaning. A house or some sort of safe space may be a key dimension, a place where the heart or soul, the element of human being that stretches beyond the physical, might find rest also seems crucial. Then there's that great notion that we come from God, and we return to God, that may also shape our sense of home, right? As Augustine proclaims, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless till they rest in you." Or we might say, our hearts are restless until they nest in you. So that I don't forge ahead without you, please help me here. What comes to your mind or your heart when you hear the word home? Does something stir in you? What do you think of when you hear the word home? Anybody?
Laughter.
What?
Laughter.
Laughter. Oh, yeah. What?
Comfort.
Comfort, for sure. What else?
Home cooking,
amen. I heard something else. Any others? What do you think of when you think of home? Love. Yeah. Something warm and life-giving. Or is it troubling, stirring bad memories for you? Home has mixed reviews. Is your response practical, philosophical, theological, or some combination of all those things? What's your definition of home? In another short article entitled A Theology of Homefulness, Canadian Baptist pastor Bruce Martin suggests three essential components to consideration of home: housing, community, and a place of belonging. Housing, community, and a place of belonging and security. He writes, while occasional itinerants like John the Baptist, and I would add Jesus, have no fixed address, they are exceptions. The norm in the Bible is that people have a home, a residence, that is safe, appropriate, and reasonable for their circumstances. When Jesus is approached by a scribe who says, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go," Jesus chides him by responding, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the human one has nowhere to lay his head." But I don't think Jesus is speaking here a word against home. I think he's telling his own very unique story. In fact, it may be the opposite for Jesus. The need for creation to come home to God's beloved community is so urgent that there is no time for empty protestations of faith or for counting the cost. Remember, in the end, he says, "Blessed are those who saw the least of these who are members of my family and welcomed them, for in doing so, you welcomed me." The implication of home in this blessing is strong, but the word for us is that it is not something that we can retain exclusively for ourselves. If we don't share it, it doesn't happen sometimes, and that's the truth of what's going on in Massachusetts and Washington, D.C. In his famous Hierarchy of Human Need, the great humanistic psychologist Abraham Maslow essentially argues that it is difficult, if not impossible, for people to focus on higher order values if their basic needs for food and water, clothing and shelter are not met first. In fact, he creates a pyramid, and the foundation is the practical. The culmination, the peak experience, is the spiritual. Takes all the steps to get to the top, right? Finding our way spiritually and ethically in this world must grow from some basic, practical sense of home. Though Jesus might argue this differently than Maslow does, I think he still sees the fulfillment of God's beloved community as contingent on the well-being, the literal well-being of the members of his family, not only spiritually, but also functionally and practically. Martin continues, people need more than just walls and a roof. In a biblical understanding, home is about community and belonging. Home can include family. Home can be a network of relationships in which a person belongs. Home can also be a church community, a community of disciples or of seekers. Developing this notion further, he argues that the church has a fundamental role, in fact, to describe in a word and most profoundly to model in action God's vision of home as a place of grace, of belonging, and of hope. For us to model in action God's vision of home as a place of grace, belonging, and hope. today I'm thinking, as I've already mentioned, particularly of those Latin American refugees, primarily these from Venezuela, and immigrants who are being dumped unceremoniously by some of our more gracious and hospitable political leaders on Cape Cod and the doorstep of Vice President Kamala Harris in Washington, D.C. These are people. These are siblings. These are human beings who are desperately looking for a home, a new home, as they flee beloved homelands that have become hostile and unsustainable environments for them. Blessed are the people of Massachusetts and Washington, D.C., including churches that have scrambled to provide home, if only for the interim, places of welcome and safety, of grace, of belonging, and of hope. So here's the challenge for us this morning. How do we help make a world in which practical needs for food and water, shelter and clothing, warmth and security are met for ourselves and for others? At the same time, we imbue the world with grace, with a sense of belonging, and a hope for the fulfillment of God's beloved community. Martin concludes that a theology of homefulness means seeking to radically transform society, so each person created in the image of God experiences home as God intended them to, a safe place, a place to belong, a community of love, and yes, an appropriate, affordable residence. Nesting, a safe place, a place to belong, a community of love, and an appropriate, affordable residence. There it is. Practical, philosophical, theological, spiritual. Nesting. There in the high eaves, God looks out at you and me and all the world and asks, "When are you coming home?" Amen.